Welcome into The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers. Joining me here on The Extra, Justin Hermes, realtor with RE/MAX Properties, also host of Real Estate Realities, coming back off of hiatus in just a couple weeks. Justin, thank you so much for joining us here on The Extra. Let's talk a little real estate.
Hey, thanks for having me in. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I take those 4 months off just because I don't want to strain my voice, you know?
Yeah.
So
it's not that you just want to go travel, see, you know, play a little tennis, you know, maybe make sure your golf game's
you're making me look bad. Come on, I don't work hard.
No, you work hard. I saw, you know what, top 50 nationwide for RE/MAX agents. I mean, come on, you're cutting deals.
I'm trying as hard as I can, man. It's a tough market out there. As many people know, we work with a lot of investors, so it's finding houses below 400,000, that is the big push for us. But I think this year we'll do about 35 under 400, which you're looking at a average price point right now of 518,000. So getting below that 400,000 mark is just, that's where the numbers work. It's tough, but you know, we're still getting it done. It's certainly different than it was, shoot, 2-3 years ago when you could put out a pile of listings probably 3 years ago below 400,000 and say, which one do we want? Now it's kind of, hey, we have this opportunity. We have an investor who wants to buy it. The numbers work. It creates passive income for our clients. You know, helping people sell their homes, helping people buy homes they're going to occupy, not as difficult, right? Because we don't have to hit that certain price point to make sure we're hitting like an 8% return for our clients.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a lot of things going on. You know, Justin is a wealth of knowledge. The show comes back in January. We're getting close to the end of the year. So, Justin, as we kind of look back at 2021, what are some of the biggest headlines when it comes to the local real estate market?
I would say what is just so interesting is to just kind of look back, like I was just talking about, over the last like 6 to 7 years. It's just wild to think that we saw another year of 18% appreciation here. And we're 5% over the national average of what we saw appreciation nationally. It was only 13%. So it's just crazy to think, you know, Colorado Springs used to be one of the most affordable places in the United States. And now we're really struggling with that issue and finding enough inventory, right? We only have half a month's supply of houses on the market. In a healthy market, we'd have 6 months supply, right? So we start looking at those numbers, and really, we do need a correction because we need to keep this town affordable. That's a big thing, is being able to have first-time homebuyers come into this town and afford a house. So a lot of things on the horizon, but you know, we look at the fact that you know, a lot of first-time homebuyers are still finding some success here. We found 29%. Of home buyers this last month were first-time home buyers, right? But we've seen more investors jump in too. We saw 17% investor purchases this year. That's up from last year, where it was 13%. So the biggest thing I think really for people is to realize you got to have a bucket that diversifies away from your 401k, whether it's your Roth IRA, whether it's life insurance. Real estate's got to be one of those tangible assets. And, you know, in El Paso County, 36% of people living here are actually renters, right? Yeah. It's a transient town. That's no secret. So really our goal is, hey, let's help you build that rental portfolio, whether it's one house, two, or three houses, and help you create some of that passive income. And also, it's the best safeguard against inflation. We're experiencing a lot of inflation right now, and real estate is. It's the best safeguard against inflation, hands down.
Absolutely, and it is a great investment. You know, we were talking about it all morning long on KRDO's Morning News, but this new study out of the University of Denver on rent and vacancies shows that rents right now in Colorado Springs, the highest that they've ever been. In the 35 years they've been doing this, it's been the highest. It's gained, what, $219 year to year just between the third quarter of 20 and 21. So it's great news when it comes to those investors because it is that additional income and really having that growth pattern, but tough on that consumer side as well, trying to find that supply to get people buying those first-time homes.
No, there's no doubt about it. I mean, when I look at the stats, it surprises me really because a two bedroom right now, the average rental price on that is $1,518, which is just, it's almost double of what it was 7 years ago. Yeah. And a four bedroom is $2,340 to rent. So it is kind of wild to think about that stuff has escalated that quickly. But at the same time, we've also seen an increase in job wages here. And obviously, a big majority of those renters are military, and they have the BAH, which has adjusted accordingly to El Paso County. So obviously, there's still people willing to rent at that price. Otherwise, we would see, you know, that start to dip down, and we'd see a lower average rental price over the next couple of years. I don't see it just because of the inflation we're going to be experiencing. I think we're going to be in a time period of seeing some real serious inflation for at least the next year or two until they raise interest rates and really try to cool off the economy, which it's kind of a balancing act, and it's a lot of it becomes political, but there's no doubt about it that you can't have interest rates sitting at 3% and keep inflation in check, right? You got to have those interest rates next year at this time right around 4% to, you know, really keep the economy where it needs to be and it's not running away and we're printing a ton of money.
Yeah, and you know, you earlier mentioned maybe needing some or seeing some kind of correction maybe coming. Now, what do you mean when you say correction? Because I know a lot of people might just jump back to 2008 and seeing, you know, the crash, a big bubble burst. But when it comes to any kind of correction nowadays, what is that going to look like?
Yeah, I tell you what, it's great that you brought that up because people do think, oh my gosh, it's going to crash, and it's not. What we're looking at is great analogy for everyone. You're going down I-25. 75 mile per hour zone. We've been going 95 for the last probably 4 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now all of a sudden we're just going to go down to about 80 miles per hour. We're still over the speed limit, right? We're still seeing very short supply homes. We're still going to see next year an 8 to 10% appreciation. So it's going to feel like a slowdown because we've been going so fast, but in reality, we're still going over the speed limit. And that's really the best analogy I can give people. The other thing too is you have to realize where is that new inventory being added? And if it's homes below 500,000, you're not going to see much of a correction there. I don't think you're ever going to see a strong correction below 500,000, you know, in Colorado Springs for years to come, because the thing is builders aren't adding any new inventory there, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, hey, I want you to go find me a home for 1,800 square feet, a 3-bed, 3-bath, 2-car garage, probably the best new build we could find you would be right around $500,000. And then you have to also think the taxes are about $5,000 a year on that house, rather than when we go purchase an investment property, we're buying a house for $400,000, $425,000. Taxes are only $1,500 a year, and builders are not adding inventory in that price range. They're not adding competition, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what I coach my buyers on, especially investors, is, hey, if we're buying, let's make sure we're buying definitely below $500,000, really 450 or below, and that is a market where we're not seeing any new inventory or builders adding that inventory. And so you're going to see the greatest appreciation there because you have insulation, and that's what's important. So obviously, there's people listening who go, I'm buying a house for my family and it needs the functionality. And that's totally different than what I'm talking about as far as making the rental numbers work, creating that mailbox money, that passive income. But I definitely think we will see a correction. Just not going to see it really on homes below 450. And we're still going to see appreciation of 8 to 10%. It's just going to be half of what we've seen over the years past. So it's going to seem like, whoa, the playing field is really starting to level off.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about when it comes to the local market. We're talking with Justin Hermes with Remax Properties, also host of Real Estate Realities. Still ahead, we're going to talk more about what we can expect to see in the local market. Still ahead, this is KRDO News Radio's The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, looking at all things local real estate with Justin Hermes of Remax Properties, also host of Real Estate Realities, coming off his fourth quarter hiatus, getting back out of vacation mode into work mode. The show starts up in January, and Justin is looking all nice and suntan, relaxed, ready to go, ready to get fired up here across Southern Colorado. And Justin, as we're looking ahead into the new year, what can we really expect? I know we talked a little bit about seeing maybe a little cool down compared to what we've seen as far as hot as the market's been, maybe taking it from a 12 or 13 to an 8, but what else can we expect in 2022?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see too is still an increase in building costs for sure, and we're going to still see that backlog that we're seeing in the supply chain. I don't see that being a problem that's going to be quickly fixed. I think we're going to struggle with that through all of 2022. Not to be negative on it, it's just kind of the reality. Not being able to get appliances, not being able to get even parts for appliances to repair, all that stuff comes into play. And even labor, right? We talk about electricians, plumbers, all those things start to add up. So I think you're going to see even more of a backlog on that supply chain when it comes to new builds. Also, I think we talked about how we have 36% of El Paso County are renters. I think we're going to see that increase to 40%. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see more of a renter nation, really. I mean, just nationwide, I think we're going to see more renters because we have so many investors getting in the market and big conglomerates, right? Even here locally in Colorado and then nationwide, they're coming in and buying houses just by the dozens. And so the thing is we're going to see, for really millennials, it's going to be so much tougher to get home ownership, and they're going to be forced into renting. And that's kind of the sad thing, I think, is we are just going to see more of a renter nation. Mm-hmm. And really, when you talk to millennials too, a lot of them do say, hey, I don't mind that. I don't want the maintenance. If something breaks, I don't want to fix it. If I want to get up and move next year, I don't want to have to sell it. All those things are not really logical reasons, in my opinion. It's kind of makes them feel good about renting when really you're paying for somebody else's retirement, right?
Yeah.
But I think that'll increase. I think we'll see an increase in homes, though, as well. I think we're going to see inventory increase to, 1,000, which is fantastic because right now we're sitting at 363 homes as of this morning on the market. And 2 months ago, we had around 700. So we've seen inventory cut in half. A lot of that is time of year, right? We're going to Thanksgiving, Christmas. Mm-hmm. People aren't tossing their homes on the market in the middle of winter with the holidays approaching. But the thing is really a healthy market here. We need about 4,000 homes on the market. 4,000 would be a level playing field between buyers and sellers. Okay. So when we're sitting at 363, it's way too little. That's why I think we're going to see that inventory rise to around 1,000. And really, until it creeps up closer to 4,000 for the size of this city now, it's really not going to be a level playing field. And that's where I think we'll still see that 8 to 10% appreciation. And I think we'll see interest rates up a full point. I think you'd be looking at a VA, FHA right at about 4%. Conventional loans sitting at a 4.25%. So if you're listening to this right now, the big thing is hey, if you haven't refinanced already, really look at that, right? I work with Jay Garvins at Churchill Mortgage. Call him, talk to him about a refinance. Make sure that you're being sensitive to the interest rate because the average interest rate over the last 40 years for a home mortgage is 7.6%. And so we're talking, people don't think the reality is we are going to see interest rates increase. They can't stay this low forever. Yeah. And you need to make sure you have a quality mortgage, a quality interest rate. And if you're looking to buy an investment property, now's the time you can get in. And it's not like a commercial property where rates adjust, right? We're on an adjustable or balloon. And in 5 years, you're going to be looking at an interest rate of 8%. We're talking locking in the mid threes for the next 30 years. And that's what makes it such a safe, conservative approach is, getting into residential rental properties. And that's why we like doing it for people is because it's not high risk like commercial where you have long-term vacancies and where you have adjustable interest rates.
Yeah. And then, Justin, if anyone wants more information as we head off to our quick news break, if anyone wants more information, how do they get a hold of you, start maybe looking at what they should be doing to make sure that they're getting that mailbox money coming in?
Yeah, sure thing. Just give me a ring on my cell phone. That's 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. We'll help you chalk up a game plan and start creating some success here in the real estate market in Colorado Springs and, starting to create that passive income and diversifying your retirement portfolio.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's the best time now. As Justin mentioned, these rates can't go anywhere but up right now, and they probably will. So take advantage of that, Justin, his team. They'll get you taken care of. They'll connect you with people. If it is a refinance like Jay Garvin's, to make sure that you're making the best moves possible. We're going to continue talking all things local real estate. We're going to talk also as well about some developments coming in through the city. That after our check of local and national headlines right here on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. I'm Andrew Rogers. This hour, talking about the local real estate market, everything going on throughout the Colorado Springs and Pikes Peak region with Justin Hermes of RE/MAX Properties, also host of Real Estate Realities right here on KRDO News Radio. Justin, before the break, we talked a lot about what the past year looked like, what's what we can expect market and transactionally into the new year, but we also know there's a lot of development going on around, and let's talk about some of the big projects and some of the things we might see changing in and around Colorado Springs over the next couple years.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's
Did you have your Switch still on?
All right, sorry. Okay, I did that.
You've been on vacation.
I did that last time. Remember when I was in here and I was on mute again? Yeah, just redid. It's a rookie move, but I'm going to bounce back from that.
You got a couple weeks. I mean, you know, January's coming up sooner than you think, though.
I know, right? So, anyway, it is crazy, though, growing up here, not seeing any cranes downtown, really, and how many cranes we have and how fast you got hotels popping up and, you know, stuff down by the Olympic Museum developing. But I'd say probably the number one thing that should be on everyone's radar is the Air Force Visitor Center that's going to be built right up there outside of that North Gate entrance to the Air Force Academy. And then also they're going to have a conference center there and a hotel. So it's going to be quite the development. It's the last project of the City of Champions. You kind of have lost people talking about that because everything else has been completed as far as CC, the museum, UCCS's role in that with the rehab center. But when you look towards the Air Force Academy, it's tough because it's federal land, right? So I think they're going to start breaking ground this summer, you know, finally on that. And that'll be kind of the last stage of getting the City of Champions blueprint put together, which is, I think, why we've had so much success is because finally there's a game plan. And I think Colorado Springs was kind of just, you know, floating out there. We never really had a sense of direction for the city.
Yeah.
And then when, you know, Mayor Bach put that together, what was it, back in like 2012, and then obviously you had Mayor Suthers following it through and doing a great job with that, is the fact that now you see investors looking at this town, right? Whether it's a Marriott, whether it's a Shields or a Great Wolf Lodge, they're looking at going, wow, you guys have a blueprint now. Yeah. You guys have an identity. You know which direction you're going. You got the museum downtown. And so I think that's why there's all the optimism downtown, right? I mean, with the soccer stadium, with Widener throwing in more apartments, there's just so much optimism because of that City of Champions initiative. And so people often forget that we still have one of those projects left, one of the five, to complete. It's going to be a $65 million project. So it's not anything small, but I think it's going to be a great entry to Colorado Springs as people come down from Denver, coming right in, seeing that Air Force Academy Visitor Center, not having to go on base to really hear the story of, you know, how the Air Force Academy developed.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's really showing that we're taking that, as you mentioned, that blueprint and that vision, kind of looking at where the city's going to go, because we've also talked about the need to continue that development, the need to continue bringing in more and more projects, things like that, because we had been stagnant for so long that we've got to continue growing, and that's just, at least we have a plan for growth and not just like some other cities that have just let everything go kind of willy-nilly and then have the back-end problems that we've seen.
Yeah, that sporadic growth never works out well. And, you know, I think we got a lot of great things going on here in Colorado Springs. I also think there's some stuff to improve on. I think definitely the affordable housing aspect is we're building all these high-end apartment complexes, which are renting for $2,000 for a two-bedroom. I think we have to remember that that is not affordable housing. And really, for a lot of young professionals, they need to be able to find a two-bedroom that rents for below the average, as we were talking about, around $1,200. And I think really there's some great opportunities with big box retail, repurposing some of these buildings, and whether it's putting them in as studios and saying, hey, we're going to offer a studio rent for $800, that is one thing that I think, you know, I'd like to see more developments in that area, just because you don't want to see people have to leave this city who've been here so long, right? It's great when we get new people. That's exciting. But we also don't want to have people moving outside of the city going, we're leaving Colorado Springs, we're going down to Pueblo, I can't afford to live in this town anymore, I've been here for 20, 30 years. So all the growth is exciting, right? When we talk about those things, we talk about the new 25-story building directly east of the Olympic Museum downtown, the development there. That's all exciting stuff, but at the same time, it is, hey, are we making sure that we're keeping the town, you know, at least affordable for people who've been here for so long?
Yeah, because I know both of us grew up here, and there was a point where a lot of people, you know, when we were going to school, a lot of our classmates couldn't wait to get out of here. But now that there's actually, you know, jobs, things to do, things to keep people in Colorado Springs, we have to have that housing component with it to make sure that people want to stay here and are able to.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it, too, can be that play work environment, and I mean, almost like a group housing where there's more community. I mean, I think a lot of that could really catch on, and it's that we don't want to go down that segue because I could speak on that forever.
Yeah.
But I do think that We have to get creative as far as affordable housing goes, because the high-end apartments that are going in is just, it's not filling that category. Also, too, down by the Olympic Museum, they're going to look at putting in two more high-rise, as we say. It's really a high-rise for Colorado Springs. It wouldn't be for a city like Denver, right? We're talking 25 stories, but there are rumors of two other buildings coming in around 30 stories right down there, east of the Olympic Museum. So you'd have three buildings down there. So I think that growth is fine. There's people who are upset because it impedes some of the views, and they don't want high buildings here in Colorado Springs. But ultimately, it's free enterprise. You know, if the developers are optimistic about it, they're going to do it the right way. I don't think we can, you know, turn down the growth, really. It's just growing healthily, like you said.
And now, are we looking at also seeing some more kind of residential development? I know there's been, you know, a lot of building, like Banning Lewis is continuing to do some of that expansion, but can we expect to see any more of like the normal residential builders continuing with those anywhere, maybe more north and east, kind of the only areas we really have room to move?
Yeah, I think a big area that people need to keep their eye on, we already talk, we talk about sleeper neighborhoods, right? Mm-hmm. Because areas like Ivy Wild, right? That's already priced in, that development. So when you're listening right now and you're going, I want to invest, but what area do I invest in? Areas like, you know, in Ivy Wild, areas like the Old North End, areas like Northgate, like those are already priced in because you know the growth is there. So you got to find the sleeper neighborhoods is what I call them. And really, I think a great sleeper neighborhood is around Airport Park right now, right? I mean, that southeast area of town over by Barnstormers, right by the new Amazon building. You can't miss that. And I have heard some rumors of some more development going on for housing around the airport down there. But there's no doubt about it as far as that Airport Park will be developed. And if you're buying around there, you're going to succeed. I see that whole Powers Corridor stretching further south and even going all the way down to Lorson Ranch. So if you're looking at areas, I would say sleeper neighborhoods right by the airport, areas like Cimarron Hills, which is Powers, and Platt, great area to invest right there. We've helped a lot of investors get in there. So there's a bunch of different pockets that we look at, and we try to get ahead on things and say, hey, where are these next developments coming? How can we buy around them and catch some of that appreciation and ride that you know, that wave up as far as, you know, things in the area getting developed, helping values increase. So downtown, obviously, too. I mean, a lot of that stuff's already priced in downtown because people know about the developments. It's already happening. Another thing, too, that a lot of people, I think, have lost track of is the YMCA, that new three-story YMCA downtown. They've had some delays in that, but they are going to start getting construction underway in the second quarter of 2022. So that's going to be exciting. I think the Y downtown, that's definitely something that needs to be updated. And, you know, you're going to see more development on that northeast side of downtown, which is great because you need that to stretch over into parts like Prospect Lake and over by Memorial Hospital and really connect that downtown together. I think would be a great movement. It's as well as the Chicago developers who are throwing in apartments right by the police station there. Just connecting that east side of downtown, because right now you got a lot of it is just, you know, really centralized around the stadium and the Olympic Museum.
Yeah, there's been a lot of that development, especially as you mentioned on the south side of downtown. So really kind of looking at the rest of it, making it one larger, more cohesive downtown quarter is definitely going to be huge for the city moving ahead. We're talking with Justin Hermes with Remax Properties, also host of Real Estate Realities. We've got much more to talk about here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra here on KRDO News Radio, joined by Justin Hermes with Real Estate Realities, also a Remax Properties agent, one of the top 50 nationwide when it comes to the real estate market here locally. You know, I saw some crews from Bravo posting around here looking to maybe expand to a spinoff, a little million-dollar listing, Colorado Springs, trying to get your number.
Oh, I love it. I love it. That's great. That's great. You know what's funny is a majority, I think the sales we do are, geez, we'll sell 100 homes this last year, which is a total blessing. It's awesome. But I would say 75% of those are below half a million. And I love working that price point because it's just, it's exciting. It's tough. There's a challenge. You know, the reason I love the business a ton is because people come to me and say, hey, They said, I can't find a townhouse in this town under 200,000 and stuff like that. I go, that's an awesome challenge. Let's take that on. Let's go get it done. Let's find a pocket listing. Let's find something off market. And I love the challenging price points because I'm a competitor and, you know, I just think it's so fun to help people get into those price points where it's making such a difference in their lives. And, this market is tough. There's no doubt about it. But this last year we did 23 off-market transactions. So those are deals brought to me by other real estate agents. Nine times out of 10, I don't seek them out. I don't do any internet leads. I don't call people directly. I don't do snail mail. And so really it's other agents calling saying, hey, we got a renter in here. Do you have an investor who wants to buy it? We've had so many properties this year that have appraised for more than our purchase price, which is opposite of what you'll hear in the market of, hey, we have to have appraisal gaps or bringing extra cash to close. We're closing one next week where the appraisal came in $45,000 higher. We're closing one 2 weeks over on Hammock Drive that came in $25,000 higher. And so what I tell my clients is, my job is to get you in the door with equity. You need to walk into the door with $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 worth of equity and numbers that cash flow if you decide to move out. If you're occupying it as a primary, that's fine. You decide to move out, you can create cash flow of $500, $600 a month. And I look at it strictly as an investment. So there's realtors out there who get all fired up about the inside, the design, and the granite. That's not me at all. I think that stuff is silly. I think it is really distracts you from really what you need to be looking at, and that is area, lot size, location, floor plan, resale. And I tell my clients, if you like the house, great. The only thing I care about is it a good investment? And I think in this market, you have to have a realtor who's being hypersensitive to, are you making a strong investment? If things change, can you possibly rent out the property, still make money? We've helped a lot of people buy fourplexes where they owner occupy. I mean, we're doing one for a good friend of mine where we close on the 18th. And that is a fourplex he's going to move into, putting only $25,000 down and then being able to cash flow $700 a month off a fourplex. So a lot of people will listen and go, I don't know that. I thought you have to have 20% down to buy an investment property. No, a lot of people we help, we teach them to owner occupy, little as 3.5% down. Obviously, VA, no money down. We did a VA this year for $1 million on a fourplex up at Chapel Hills, District 20. That was another off-market deal. That same client we helped him buy. Then with FHA, another fourplex off of Fontmore, we bought that at $600,000. Both those properties, I'd say the one on Fontmore is worth $700,000, and the one up on Chapel Hills is worth $1.2 million. So we're finding great deals. And that's why we're still helping investors. We're not selling property just to sell property. If it's not a good deal, we're not jumping at it. And so if you're listening and you're going, this is speaking to me, I need a tangible asset, I need the tax write-offs, mm-hmm. right? As we see the tax laws are going to get scrutinized and tax rates are going up, you need real estate. It's the best tax shelter. As I said before, it's the best protection against inflation. And so that's where you need to really call us. Let's make a game plan. Let's help you pick up, whether it's one investment property, two or three. I had a radio listener over the last 2 years. They bought three properties. And it's just determination. It's setting aside money. It's making a game plan. And now they're setting themselves up to have passive income of, you know, $6,000 a month. And that's just going to be another bucket for them as they head into retirement. So the other thing, too, is you may have a child out there who's renting, renting in this market and paying for somebody else's retirement, right? It's like contributing to their 401k, and it's a great opportunity for you to talk with us and talk about how we can use your son or daughter with an owner-occupied loan with less money down while you purchasing an investment property. It's a beautiful thing. You can just be so creative. You can skin it so many different ways when it comes to real estate. And that's what we love. That's why I do the show Real Estate Realities. It's about being creative and helping people create passive income that's going to change their lives, you know, for a long time.
Absolutely. And Justin, again, if anyone wants to give you a call, get that game plan started, see what could be done here in the waning weeks of 2021, or get that game plan for 2022 going, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, just give me a ring on my cell phone. That's 719-232-1063. That's 232-1063. 1063. You can text or call. Would love to help you accomplish some real estate goals and start creating passive income so you can make money while you sleep. That's the key.
Absolutely. Well, Justin Hermes with Real Estate Realities, thank you so much for joining us here on KRDO News Radio, for giving us that update, the recap of this past year, where we're going for the year ahead as well. That does it here on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. We have a check of all of our top national and local headlines, plus the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Show still ahead as well. This is KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. Of course, you can listen live 24/7 at KRDO.com.